Leslie?
Yes, Clinton.
Is the water warm enough?
It is.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Well then, 1, 2, 3.
Now it's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts, Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now, here's Leslie.
Good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you're an art maker, art breaker, art faker, or art partaker, welcome all, because all are welcome to Homegrown, a show about local art. I'm the one called Clinton, not the one called Leslie, but I'm here with the mistress of the microphone, the one lifting your spirits when you feel abandoned and alone, good to be gracious, bad to the bone, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Oh, my. There's a lot of rhyming going on here this morning.
Rhyming and on-timing.
Oh, my. Well, good morning to you, Clinton. You're in a very good mood.
I am always happy to be here with you, Leslie.
I'm in a very good mood, too.
Are you?
Yes. There was a lot of wine. There was a lot of beer. There was a little bit of nakedness.
You were in post-bacchanalia.
It's been a great weekend, let me just tell you.
Okay. All right. Well, we will hear as little about that as possible, I'm sure.
Oh yes, I never kiss and tell. I might kiss and
you kiss and vlog. What are you talking? You take out billboards.
Well, you know. Hey,
I hope you kiss and tell. That's what passes for a social life for me.
Oh, you're living vicariously.
Only from the best, though.
Oh, aren't you precious?
But we understand that might just be too much. Leslie, unadulterated, just might take down the more sensitive of our listeners, which is why we start our show always with a parental advisory. Parental advisory for you parentals out there. At some point in this show, we'll try not to. But we may say the word repine. Repine. So if you have young ones, teeny tiny, blissful little balls of ignorance, and you don't want them tempted to attempt some repining, then you might want to send them. Send them out of the room. Send them out of the room.
That's, okay. You might want to think about giving definitions of these words.
I am an American, and I believe that the less we know about about the things that may tempt and scare us, the better. Ignorance leads to purity.
Oh, is that what leads to purity?
A lot of bleach, I think.
Oh, okay.
Just whitewash everything down. Okay. So let's turn to our guest this morning. Who thrilled me, because one of them just immediately jumped onto the Wendy and Lisa reference right at the beginning of the show. I was really, really pleased about that. We have with us Leah Calvani. Awesome. Got that right. Leah Calvani and Craig Jennings. Leah Calvani, the child and adolescent advocate for the Shelter for Help and Emergency, and Craig Jennings, choir director from Burley Middle School.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
I am spectacular.
He is spectacular. Excellent. Great. Welcome to Homegrown, a show about local art. Thanks for so much for coming in at an early Sunday morning. How's the choir going at Burley Middle School?
Oh, I am wildly blessed at Burley. We have a wonderfully supportive community and administration and faculty. And the kids are engaged. They like each other. They enjoy singing together and exploring their vocal instrument.
They like each other and they enjoy singing together?
It's a blessing.
Boy, you have been blessed, because I did choir in high school.
Okay.
And liking each other and enjoying singing together weren't necessarily components of the experience.
Well, these are extraordinary human beings. I'm very, very blessed to have them in my room.
Well, great. So what possibly could bring together the storied choir director from Burley Middle School and the child and adolescent advocate for the Shelter for Help and Emergency?
We have a collaborative effort The result is a concert this Saturday, February 27th at Monticello High School at 5 o'clock p.m. in the Monticello High School Auditorium. It's called Winter Songs. And it's a collaboration between local music teachers and music directors to help raise awareness for violence against women in our community. And the very sad genesis of it kind of prompted us to say, you know, there's more than we can be doing in terms of helping our students, in terms of raising awareness in the community, in terms of raising money for the Shelter for Help and Emergency. And so with it working within our sphere, we decided to put together as many of the local student women's choirs as possible. Giving them a day where they're sharing music with each other, sharing mutual support with each other, sharing vocal techniques and enrichment exercises. And at the end of the day, the concert at 5 p.m., while the concert itself is free, we are encouraging donations at the door, and every penny we raise will go to support the Shelter for Help and Emergency. And each of the women's ensembles performs a small set of 2 to 3 pieces. Some are accompanied, some are a cappella. Ensembles that are in attendance are right up in front cheering for them. This is, while it's technically a formal concert, we really want a cheering, supportive, I've got you sort of vibe in the room. Uh-huh. And at the end, all of the ensembles join together and perform a piece together. Last year, it was Sarah Bareilles and Ingrid Michaelson's Winter Song, which was the genesis of the name of the concert. This year, it's going to be a performance of Wings by Little Mix, and we'll have a live student ensemble there. And I really think it's going to blow the roof off of the auditorium. So bring an umbrella.
Wow. So it sounds like the concert is just the tip of the iceberg for this. So there's a whole day of like workshops and an ability for these young women and girls from different schools to work with each other and get to know each other and interact with each other.
Exactly. And a lot of the time, whenever our choirs see each other, it's in something like a competition, which is really,
right.
We just don't want that for this day. We want it to be, personally.
Well, you don't want to shove competition in every single nook and cranny of our culture that's possible?
Exactly. To me, it's a little weird. Artistic competition is a little weird to me.
Because I think we're going to start a competition between another show about local art.
Well, Clinton, let's take it to him, then.
Leslie and I are going to start competing with each other.
We already compete with each other, and I win. So, hush.
Just people love
it
you
sounds
more.
Sounds like it's decided. So we want it to be more of a collaborative effort. The only vocal competition I've ever watched is something called the Sing-Off. And the reason why I love it so well is because the people you're competing against are sitting on stage with you, cheering for you. And so we really want that kind of vibe in the concert where each of the ensembles are giving each other the support immediately while the performance is going on. We find that, you know, to be very, very encouraging to other artists to say, you know, it's not really about judgment right now. It's about let's share this moment.
Right.
So that kind of matches with what the Shelter for Help and Emergency does for everyone all the time. It's a supportive place where women who need support can go, right?
It's absolutely a replication of that for me. As much as the fundraising part, as the proceeds go to the shelter, as the child and adolescent advocate, I'm working with teens and young people all the time. So when there are 200 young women who are speaking or singing about this, it's breathtaking. Last year was the first annual. I think I was in tears or close to it for part of the time, if not all of it. Just that these young women were aware of not only the domestic violence part of things, but dating violence, and that's something that starts a lot earlier, clearly.
Yeah. We've seen that violence, or not even violence, just bad relationships are starting earlier and earlier, especially for teen girls. So what are the kind of workshops that these girls are going to be doing during the day to raise their awareness of that?
And could I just playthrough for just one moment, just in case there's somebody out there who doesn't know what the Shelter for Help and Emergency is. Leia, can you just give a brief throwdown what she is?
Sure. The Shelter for Help and Emergency is an overarching agency that really addresses domestic violence. It's not just a female-oriented agency. Our shelter happens to be a shelter for women and children, but we know that domestic violence affects everybody, or intimate partner violence. So we serve men in the community. We serve older people. So we do outreach services, legal advocacy. We have a Spanish-speaking advocate. We have a residential facility. We really try to connect with the community on various levels facing this issue.
So what are the workshops that the girls are going to be doing during the day? What kind of topics are they going to be working on or talking about?
They're primarily music-based at this point. I will be there earlier and providing information to young women. I had the very fortunate opportunity to be in Monticello High School on Friday talking to 10th graders. And this is something that we already know. In high school, people are already in these relationships. So really, our movement, or if not kind of prevention across the board, is really addressing things with middle schoolers. So I take every opportunity. I'm not at all shy with young people.
Really? So 10th graders. So how do you discuss issues of intimate partner? That's interesting. By the way, I haven't heard the phrase intimate partner violence before. Like, back when I was a kid, we just called it domestic violence. But now you're getting all fancy with these terms. Anyway, how do you discuss something as sensitive as intimate partner violence with 10th graders?
I think it's funny. I would love to be talking with 6th and 7th graders about this. Basically, just the components that kind of work into a program like this, talking about what kind of exposure we've had at home to violence, or how our families and friends impact our self-esteem, and then getting into relationships where we're finding identity and all these pieces in a relationship at that young age. Intimate partner violence we're using, or it's been used now. I think domestic violence, people envision for older people who are sharing homes, children, resources. Intimate partner violence is really an overarching term that includes teen dating violence, intergender violence, and really across the board. It's not the classic old school male, female living in a home.
Right. So, I mean, I have two children, and, my daughter is 20 now. And she just last year had her first like major relationship, and it took a really bad turn at the end. One, I was thankful that happened at a place in her life where she was a little more secure in herself, and able to say, no, that's not acceptable. But how do you, I wouldn't have even known how to begin the conversation with her about something like that when she was in middle school or high school. Like and do you have, I guess you'd call them clients, that come to you that are in these destructive kind of relationships at that young age? How do you even broach those conversations?
I've had the opportunity to actually go into a couple different high schools in the past couple years where the schools were alerted to a relationship. And essentially, I know that coming in as like the anti-violence lady, in high school, nobody wants to really look at me when introduced as that person.
Like whenever there's like the person who's supposed to do good things for you coming in from the outside.
Yes. Or I'm the expert. So typically I walk in and say, I'm not here to tell you to leave this relationship, because I'm sure everybody around you has. Basically, it's a time for me to provide that education of what the red flags, what it looks like. And with younger people, physical violence is the one thing they think about in abusive relationships. What I want to do is talk to them about power and control and what those red flags are at the beginning of a relationship, to then kind of start addressing what power and control means. So really that openness, I think for parents too, having that ability to be open and not judging, which I'm sure is an enormous challenge as a parent, but to be able to provide tools and support. If domestic violence, part of it, or intimate partner violence is isolating the victim, when we don't know how to communicate with them or help them stay safe in that relationship, we're kind of playing into what the abuser wants. So being available, whether or not it feels comfortable for you as the listener, connecting young people to trusted adults or community resources, because a lot of times they're not talking to their parents or their teachers about it, and they're still dealing with the issue.
Yeah, I think one of the huge challenges in dealing with this really, really complex set of situations and set of variables that people run into, if you are fortunate, or maybe unfortunate, depends on how you look at it, if you're fortunate enough to be trusted by somebody enough for them to share the fact that they're undergoing things like this, is that people who want to be allies to those people, so frequently we want to say, well, I want to get you out of there. Let's shut this down. And as you were saying, the part, since so much of the aspect of the situation is a depowering of the person who's receiving abuse, taking them out of any position where they have control, being able to acknowledge their control, even to the extent of, you know, your relationship, your call, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not here to be yet another voice
yep.
to make you do something.
Yep.
I'm here, yeah.
And we do, I mean, in the shelter itself, we have a trauma-informed approach that we don't, and I as an advocate, don't want to be replicating an abuser. So for me to come in and say, I think I know exactly what you should be doing, although it's in, you know, exactly, it's still kind of that same, I'm coming in and saying, I think this is what you should do.
Right. So Craig, are there, how are the songs chosen? For this, are there songs that relate to intimate partner violence? Are there songs I'll just stop the question there because there it is.
Well, the programming is up to the individual directors. Generally speaking, there are pieces that the ensembles can do and feel good about. They don't necessarily conform to a specific message for the concert. The only piece that potentially ties into the underlying theme of the concert is the final piece when all 200 voices get together and sing together.
200. Okay, how, just from a practical point of view, how much rehearsal do you have with all 200 of them?
Well, the piece is prepared by the ensembles before they arrive that day. So the musicians show up already knowing the chart front to back. Putting it together is more fun than work, really, from my standpoint, because they are all enthusiastic. Every woman who is there because she wants to be there. And so it's kind of this, joyful cacophony of women on stage, singing with people they don't know very well, who might be 10 years older than they are, but they are all there because they are fundamentally they're musicians, they're women, they are folks who are speaking up and stepping up to say no to domestic violence, so the final piece is selected generally to sort of be in support of each other. The song Wings, the message is, that other people are going to say things to you that might be objectionable or might be offensive or might be hurtful or insulting. And you have a choice in that moment. And the song encourages you to rise above it and say, you know what, whatever. And then move on with your life. And it does it sort of in a very, very powerful, in-your-face, very, very pro-woman stance. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing the ensemble next Saturday.
Cool.
Hey, this is Michael Clem. You were listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
17, oh, just ticked over to 18 minutes past the hour. And if you're just tuning in to us, welcome. We are here blessed by our two guests, Leo Covani and Craig Jennings. And this is Homegrown, a show about local art. And we're talking about the Winter Songs concert, Winter Songs, which is a fundraising chorale concert for the Shelter for Help and Emergency coming up this coming Saturday. It's a concert that features 200 female students from high schools and middle schools across across the city.
We have two Albemarle County middle schools, three local high schools. Albemarle High School, Monticello High School, and Charlottesville High School will be there. Burley Middle School and Henley Middle School will also be there. And this year, I'm very, very happy to announce that the University of Virginia Women's Chorus will be there.
Whoa!
How did you pull them down from their ivory tower to come deal with us normal mortals?
Well, actually, they're really, really wonderful people. And their director is, I'm happy to say, is a not only a wonderful musician, she's also a dear friend. And they were involved last year, but we scheduled it, unfortunately, at a time when there were lots of events going on at the university. And so they were not able to attend. They had some volunteers. But this year, we shifted some things around and we made sure it was on a weekend when they could be present. So, you know, I'm very, very happy to have them on board.
Cool. So we've got a clip here. Can you set it up for us?
I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah.
Sure. This is the Burley Barrettes Young Women's Chorus. This is a 100% volunteer auditioned ensemble. Every single young woman in the group is there because she loves to sing and she is a dedicated musician at age, 12, 13, or 14, which is just astonishing to me. When I was 14, I was still sitting in the dirt playing with Tonka trucks. So, so they are extraordinary people.
I was being pushed into the dirt with a Tonka truck shoved into my face.
So they're brilliant. It's such a joy to work with them. They come in 3 days a week, an hour and a half before school begins, in order to do nothing but work on music together. And some of the things they're able to accomplish is stunning. This is a recording of them in December performing sort of a group arranged version of Alicia Keys' Girl on Fire. Just check for volume level this time. Okay. Yeah, okay. How's that? Can you guys hear that? Okay. Faith, say hi.
Hi.
And say hi.
Hi.
Okay. You guys ready?
No.
This is us getting a sound check for the room where we were in.
School choruses have changed a lot since. So, what started this last year?
Oh goodness, I'm kind of reluctant to even go into it. It's such an awful thing.
There was an incident.
Well, there was the murder of Hannah Graham.
Ah, yeah.
And before that, I mean, there's a list of names. There was a young transgender woman, Sade, who went missing, and they still have not found her. Before that, it was Morgan Harrington, and then there's a list before, and it's the kind of thing that sort of builds up, and you sit there as a member of your community and you feel helpless. I'm not in law enforcement and I'm not a detective and so we weren't really sure what we could do, but I sat there and it occurred to me that, I'm already in a situation where I'm impacting, hopefully positively, the lives of young people. And one of the lessons that I try to teach my students, it's more that I don't teach music, I teach kids. And so I'm really passionate about not just talking about what a quarter note is or how to tune a minor chord. I'm very pro student in terms of life choices and fighting against the hypersexualization of children because of some of the commercial messages that they receive about what a perfect body is or what a desirable person should be like or look like or what clothes they should wear. And so we actually take class time to have these discussions. And so in my moment of just sort of feeling helpless, I just had an idea where why not use our concert? Why don't we get together with our, you know, other artists and collaborate and do something not only for, the artists in our care, but something, there's a lesson to be learned in terms of being active in your community. And I had run the, shelter, for help and emergencies 5K a couple of times already. And I'm like, well, you know, that seems to be an obvious connection. So let's get in touch with them and see what we can do. And so we want the concert to be for the students primarily. And then secondarily, we want it to be for the community and raise awareness in the community and in a tertiary degree where we are asking for voluntary donations at the door. Last year, we raised $3,000 at this concert.
That's great.
And well, we are hoping to increase that amount this year. So
yeah, of course.
We definitely would love for the community to consider it. It's nobody's going to put pressure on anybody to open up their checkbook. But every dime we raise will go directly to the shelter.
Great. Leah, you want to say something?
I did. In part, the timing is more than appropriate. February is actually Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, which is an enormous piece for us about why this timing is so perfect and precise.
What? February's supposed to be Black History Month.
It is both.
What are you doing snaking on our month?
We are not. We are sharing.
Okay.
We are sharing as best we can.
We'll share. I can't imagine anything we would rather share it with.
I was going to say, also in terms of just age, as Craig talks about the span between middle school and college, we know that women between 16 and 24 are actually at the most at risk for dating violence. And again, you know, I don't like to talk too many statistics, but if one in four women in her lifetime are facing intimate partner violence, we're all aware of somebody who that affects, whether or not it's our moms, our sisters, and not just gendered-wise, there's somebody very close to us who this affects. So that's another kind of enormous piece for me personally, and let alone through the agency.
Sad but true. Please, thank you so much for coming on our show. Could you tell our listeners once again where the concert is, what the concert is, when the concert is, how they can get to it?
I am happy to. It is the Winter Songs, second annual Winter Songs concert, and it features 200 vocalists from Central Virginia, young women who are student choristers. It will be Albemarle High School, Burley Middle School, Charlottesville High School, Henley Middle School, Monticello High School, and the Virginia Women's Chorus of the University of Virginia, all singing together. It is Saturday, February 27th, 2016, at 5 o'clock p.m. The house will open at 4:30. It is at Monticello High School Auditorium, and it is absolutely free, but we're hoping that you bring tons and tons of money to donate to the shelter of for help and emergency. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
All right. 27 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Homegrown, a show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Let's talk about some local art, shall we? Currently running at the American Shakespeare Center over in Stanton, it's the Actors Renaissance season. Going until April 3rd, you can see Shakespeare's The Tempest and Measure for Measure, as well as Middleton's Women Beware Women, Fletcher and Massinger's The Sea Voyage, and William Congreve's Love for Love. Also currently running until February 27th at Live Arts Theater downtown. It's The Other Place. It's a former Broadway play about a brilliant neurologist who begins to lose her memory due to Alzheimer's. Check that out. Speaking of checking things out, if you were with us last week, you remember our conversation with the people from Cremora Players in Cremora, Virginia. Today is your last chance to see their show, Buckshot and Blossoms, over in Cremora, Virginia. Community Dinner Theater, just over the mountain, about seven miles north of Waynesboro. February 25th to March 3rd, The Triumph of Love, a Commedia dell'arte classic at the UVA Drama. Check that out. Also February 26th, Bent Theater, Charlottesville Improv, performing at the Bridge, PAI.
And from March 4th to March 20th, from our friends up there at Four County Players in Barbersville, it's Moon Over Buffalo, a farce written by the same person who wrote the popular farce Lend Me a Tenor. And let's touch on just some of the musical events that are available to us coming up. Today, at Piedmont Virginia Community Concert, the music faculty recital at 3 p.m. at the V. Earl Dickerson Building at PVCC. At PVCC in the music department, those who can do also teach, and they're going to do it for you today. Also today, the Charlottesville Symphony with Gleb Ivanov playing Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 3, because Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 2 is just for pikers. Just for pikers. They take it up to 3. They're also going to do some Liedov and some Dvorak, because, you know, who wouldn't want to do some Dvorak? It's the Martin Luther King Jr. Performing Arts Center, Charlottesville Symphony. Check them out. February 23rd, Blues Jams at the Front Porch Roots Music School. February 24th, Jazz Collective at Fellini's. February 25th, Kiz Carter and Juke Jackson, formerly the Juke Joint Junkies, at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. On the 26th, it's Rob Cheatham's CD release party at the Anteroom with Borrowed Beams of Light. And also on February 26th, Bob Bennett at Fellini's if you're looking for something a little jazzier to do. February 27th, the UVA Jazz Ensemble directed by John Dearth at the Old Cabell Hall. And also Robert Jospe Express at Fellini's. It's just jazz coming up. I'm loving that. I'm feeling it. March 2nd. Just so you don't think we're jazz crazy, S'mores by the Victory Hall Opera Company. We've had them on before. Go check them out. They're wonderful. And, of course, every Monday it's the Singer-Songwriter Night at the local. Every Wednesday it's Jim Wave at Blue Moon Diner. Also every Wednesday it's the Mike Krasinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. On Thursday, it's the Woolen Writers Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. And every Thursday at Miller's, it's the John Dearth Quintet, because sometimes you just got to come down to Dearth. And that's only some of the fine, fine artistic choices that we have in our fine, fine artistic town. If you're a local artist and have an event and want us to talk about it, please contact us, www.facebook.com/homegrown/WPVC. Or you can email us at homegrown947@gmail.com. All right. How you doing, Leslie?
I am doing so well right now, Clinton. And you timed that list of goings on absolutely perfectly, because as soon as the song ended, you and it was great. It was perfect. I just love you this morning.
Zone. In the zone.
We are hitting it, man.
I am not here to repine.
All right. So our next guest, Clinton.
Yes.
He's awesome. We have Jason Burke from the Six Pack Songwriter Series, an evening of Central Virginia songwriting. Hey, Jason.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
So, and he's got a guitar and like some sort of like headgear going on. Like, what?
My mom makes me wear it. It's not forever, she says, but I'm having my doubts.
Aw, you still listen to your mom.
Keep my teeth straight.
That's so sweet. So you're going to play something for us?
Awesome. Correct.
Yay! Play!
This is a song off my first record. This is based on a children's book called Caps for Sale. This is called Monkey See, Monkey Do.
Well, traveling salesman, selling his caps. Got tired of walking, settled down for a nap. Now when he woke up, what did he see? He saw 15 monkeys with his caps up a tree. Monkey see, monkey do. Monkey see, monkey do. Monkey do, monkey see. Monkey you, monkey me. That's right. My poor old salesman, he says, how about that? I got 15 monkeys, and they're all wearing my caps. Well, he jumped up and down, called them all kind of names like banana breath, and those 15 monkeys went and did the same. Monkey see, monkey do. Monkey see, monkey do. Monkey do, monkey see. Monkey you, monkey me. Oh, wow!
Meanwhile, back at the tree.
That's right. That poor old salesman, he just losing his mind. So he decided to leave the monkeys behind.
What?
When he threw down his cap, he heard a rustling sound. That's when 15 monkeys threw those caps on the ground. Monkey see, monkey do. Monkey see, monkey do. Monkey do, monkey see. Monkey you, monkey me. One more time. Monkey see, monkey do. Monkey see, monkey do. Monkey do, monkey see. Monkey you, monkey me, up a coconut tree.
Well, thank you. Jason Burke.
Good morning.
Good morning. Leslie, we have the best Sunday morning in Charlottesville.
I know. Isn't this awesome?
Good times.
Well, if you weren't awake, you are awake now.
So not only is there the opportunity for people to hear stuff like that, but you've got like five more people.
Six more people.
Six more people.
You get me for free.
Oh my God. So tell our people, tell our listeners about the Six Pack Songwriter Series.
The Six Pack Songwriter Series was started around February of 2012. It's hard to believe it's been that long. In response to an experience I had at the songwriter night at the local restaurant, discovered that night upon moving to Charlottesville and fell in love with it. And the thing that struck me was the wealth of talent that I was seeing on a regular basis. But, you know, at the songwriter night, you get to play your song, and then it's time for the next artist. And I said, what would it be like if we could, you know, stretch that time increment out a little bit, give people a chance to really show what they were doing with their craft? And I talked to Bob Taylor down at Rapunzel's Coffee in Lovingston, and he said,
yeah,
go ahead, make it happen. So I assembled some songwriters that I knew from that event at the local, and we put on the show that first May of 2012, and it was just hard to believe the response. It, you know, you start modestly, and then you go from there, and now where we're at is we're putting on a show at the Paramount Theater with six new artists, and I'm the MC, and I'll play a number or two, but really it's about showcasing these six artists.
Right. So do you know who the six are? Can you rattle off
Can
the
I
six
rattle
artists?
Them off?
Off the top of your head, can you do that?
We're going to have David Tewksbury, Ann O'Brien, Paul O'Franco, Julia Qualick, Ben Eppard, and your friend and mine, Michael Clem.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a great night.
It's going to be a fantastic night. And the thing to bear in mind, if for folks who've seen the show before, because we've had it at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall a number of times. We've since moved on from doing it at Rapunzel's. We're keeping it in Charlottesville for right now. But the Southern's been great about hosting the event. And this is sort of a special once-a-year kind of opportunity to take it to a larger stage with the backing of a house band. So we're going to have guitar and drums and bass and piano, and it's going to be a cavalcade. Can I say cavalcade? I just did. I threw it out there.
There you go.
There's no taking it back, Glenn.
It's there. It's in the ether. It's out.
Wow. Maybe that should have been our parental advisory this morning.
Somewhere Edward Snowden is looking up going, Cavalcade. Someone
did he really drop Cavalcade? Oh, no. He's shaking his head.
So how are the... I'm going to ask another question about logistics. How are you getting the house band to have access to all the songs that that six different songwriters are doing? I mean, that's...
Technology is a beautiful thing. And, you know, as I'm sure folks out there may be aware, getting... six people together is interesting. Getting six musicians in the same place at the same time is hilarious. And if you add on the extra four people in the house band, it's almost a logistical impossible. I don't know how we're really getting it done, to be honest. I'm just buying myself time until the show. No, what we've done is we've sent out charts and recordings of the songs to the band, and they've been working on that, and they've been gathering amongst themselves to get the arrangements tight, and then we all meet up at a secret location and run the songs.
No, we're both directors. We know what it's like herding cats.
But it's amazing that you can do that. I've got friends of mine who are in a band in another state, and the band is, they've been going since we were in college. And of course, we've all grown up now. We've got families who've moved away, and they had a reunion concert a few years ago and did a new song that they, you know, arranged and wrote and worked on together. Without getting together, just by passing files back and forth.
Yeah. The technology anymore enables you to save time. I mean, really, right. Time, I guess, is the most precious commodity in this process. And so, what I try to do is I try to start well in advance, make sure that we're not rushing any part of the process, because we don't want any of the artists to get short shrift, and we don't want the band to get short shrift on time. Right. And so we got a good head start on this, and once you start approaching that, what I call Music Week on my website, is Music Week is always the week of the show, because that's all I'm talking about. That's all I'm thinking about. You can ask my fiance about that. She's like, yes, it's enough. But honey, it's Music Week. And what that is that's us coming out and meeting with like the wonderful folks here at 94.7 and being able to get the word out, which I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
So after Music Week, is it Honeydew Week?
Oh, it's always Honeydew Week. Every week is Honeydew Week.
Oh, I'm glad she's got that. She's got you trained.
It's a good thing. Yeah, sure. You know, once they put the chip in and the scar healed, I don't even notice the difference anymore.
Really, you had to go to training. Is that
like... Hey, all y'all need it. I'm just saying. I mean, there are some of y'all out there who couldn't tie your own shoes if there wasn't a woman around going, no, honey, not the brown ones.
You keep telling yourself. All right. So one of the things that excites me about this, and there are many things that excite me about this, one of the things is looking at the description of the artists and also knowing a couple of the artists, I'm really impressed with the range of artists that you've gotten.
That's the plan. You know, when I laid out the show in the beginning, and I think I misspoke earlier. I think I said 2012. I think our first one was 2013. We're coming up on three-year anniversary. Yeah,
right.
Math is hard, unless you're good at it.
Yeah, it's Sunday morning, and there are guitars around. Who has time for math?
I've really only had one cup of coffee per year the show has been around, so if I had more, we'd be closer. It's the breadth of material and the depth of styles and what I like to call the colors and the sounds of the show, that's always been a goal. You know, I joke that if you come to the show and you don't care for a particular style of music that you're hearing, give it 20 minutes, it's going to change. You know, the idea is to create this sort of it's like a chocolate sampler pack. You get to try different artists and find out what you like, you know. And this town, Charlottesville, and the surrounding area, I've never experienced an art scene quite like this.
It is unique in a number of ways, isn't it?
It's a nurturing scene. You know, the songwriter night down at the local, you know, I was a capable guitarist when I came to town, but, you know, songwriting was something I was really just trying to get into. And all of a sudden, I'm surrounded by people like Michael Clem and Jesse Harper and Rusty Spiedel, and these people they've been doing this for years, and there's a craft at play there. And they're taking their time to help aspiring artists develop. And what I've seen, and I've been here for about 5.5 mm-hmm. years now, what I've seen in the 4+ years of going to the mic is that the people who came through when I first showed up, there's a whole new wave of artists that are coming up, and we're all sharing information with each other on, you know, how do you set up at this particular gig, and what kind of equipment do I need, and how much material do I need, you know. And so the growth opportunity for me as an artist really came here in this area.
Right. You know, I would put a caveat on what you just said, because I agree with a bunch of it. I would say that this is a very nurturing artistic community. It's a very nurturing artistic scene among artists.
Correct.
And I think I think we can see that. I mean, one of the fun things about doing the show is because Leslie and I, we come from more a theater background. Yes. and writing background. And so it's great to interact with other artists and to see where our individual worlds are similar and where they're different. Something that I see throughout a lot of different arts in Charlottesville is this nurturing aspect among other artists. A nurturing aspect that I don't think necessarily the city or the general culture has.
Fair enough. But I have to say this, you know, I am frequently surprised, and I am even more frequently reminded of how narrow a scope I possess. I'm one person, you know, all I can do is really get out there and try to, you know, to use a golf reference, I don't even play, you know, to stand by the cup with the flag, you know, and just try to give people something to hit at. You know, my goal is to make sure that these singer-songwriters get an opportunity to get some extra time and get some exposure to a broader audience. And I've been blessed to be able to do that for coming up on 3 years now, so...
Hello, this is Brian Weimer of the Ix Art Park, and you're listening to Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour, and we are here with Jason Burke, who's the host of the upcoming Six-Pack Songwriter Series, an evening of Central Virginia songwriting coming up at the Paramount. Stay tuned after this, of course, for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. He'll be talking to Sean Tubbs, senior reporter at the Charlottesville Tomorrow. They'll be discussing population growth. Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of things to discuss. And, strangely enough, with population growth, more and more things to discuss as time goes on.
Really? You did that?
I did.
You went there?
I did.
Okay.
You know where else I'll go?
Okay. No, don't go there.
4 o'clock, I'll go to Club Del Sabor with Con DJ Nitro, El Mercenario, Charlottesville's only locally produced Spanish language show featuring the sounds and the music of Latina America.
I love it when you speak Spanish.
Jason, you have another song for us?
I think we've got one queued up in the Magical Mystery computer over there.
Oh, yeah.
This is a track off of my latest record. I was able to get together with Butch Taylor, who co-produced the record with me down at Ravensworth Studios. And this is a song of hope of sorts.
Thank you. fix it. It's not that I don't. You see, I would if I could, but I can't, so I won't. But I know everything in the world's gonna be just fine. I said everything in the world's gonna be just fine. Everything, I mean everything. Everything in the world's gonna be just fine, yes. Everything in the world's gonna be just fine. I said everything in the world's gonna be just fine.
All right, that's Jason Burke's Everything in the World's Gonna Be Just Fine from his CD, Burning Daylight. Jason, thank you so much for coming and joining us. Could you let our audience know one more time, Six Pack Song Radio Series, where, when, how, and how much merch is gonna be there for people to get?
Clinton, fantastic. We are talking about Friday, February 26th at the Paramount Theater. Doors at 7 p.m., show at 8. Am I allowed to talk about ticket prices?
Yeah,
okay.
Do it.
So basically in advance, they are $16 at www.theparamount.net, or you can go to the Paramount box office and get them. And I believe day of show, it's $20. But we're talking about a cavalcade.
A cavalcade.
We've got six different songwriters. You get me for free. There's a house band. And out in the lobby, we will have tables set up for people who want to peruse the merch. There will be plenty of great records out there on the table. And definitely come prepared to come home with some great local music, because it's you can't see the grin on the radio, but I know what the lineup is and I know what the songs are, and so I'm very excited.
That's okay. I took a picture of you and posted it on our Facebook page, so they can actually see the grin. They just have to go to our Facebook page.
Perfect.
Jason, thank you very much. Jason Burke.
My pleasure. Take care. See you later.
All right. 3 minutes past the, actually, no, it's the 53 minutes past the hour. And we're just going to, I've had so much fun, we're just going to start the show over again.
There we go.
Let's
Why not?
Do this one over. 53 minutes past the hour. You're here listening to Homegrown, a show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned after this, of course, for Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with Rick Moore. And at 4 o'clock, Club Del Sabor con DJ Nitro. And now just... in case you thought you were going to get away. No, it's time for that point in the show, which many people think is the point of the show. And certainly, why not? Ladies and gentlemen, Leslie's Weekly Rant.
Oh, I thank you, Clinton. So, the past few weeks for me have been filled with happiness. Some of that is because of things going on in my life, but this time it's been more about who I'm doing it with and what we're able to accomplish together. I know Clinton doesn't want me to do another call to artist rant, so I won't. But I started to think about what those collaborations have done to my art. As a writer or a storyteller, every interaction I have informs the story of life and therefore the story of my art. So when I talk to or participate in a performance with other artists, it changes the fabric of what I believe. It morphs my understanding of what it means to be an artist, which in turn changes my art. Think about that for a minute. Every person you meet, every interaction you have, every beer shared or bodily fluid exchange has the potential to change who you are in some small or huge way. The trick is being present enough to recognize the change, to embrace it, or to make a very conscious decision to allow it to flow through you and into your art, or to reject it as extemporaneous. So I won't do a call to artists. But I will say, for artists to take those chances to experience for themselves, because I know, Clinton doesn't want me to do that, but whatever. What I will say is that the work and brain power this requires is not for the faint of heart. And I think that speaks to every artist, every artist is at their core. It takes real bravery and stamina to live this life of constant and present self-flagellation. And we do it on a daily, sometimes hourly basis. So when you see us, give us a hug or an encouraging word. There's work going on here that you know nothing about. And we're tired. Happy, but tired. And that's the weekly rant.
Really? Really?
It wasn't a call to artists. It was a call to audience.
Clinton doesn't want me to do another call to artists. Clinton doesn't want me to say this. Clinton, when did I become the bad guy in all of this? Are you
the bad guy?
Are you suggesting through this lovely little screed of yours that among the people who are not, say, giving you a hug or supporting you, that I should be included in that group? Is that what you're saying?
No, I would never say that. You
really
do support me, and you do give me hugs.
Sir,
I'm
here every freaking week. And it's just, you don't want me to. You can say whatever you want to say. When have I ever said that you can't say whatever you want to say? Sometimes you
go off. I didn't want to piss you off. That's all.
Who knows what? Talking about called artists. Well, let everything feel you because for some reason you have to have your elitist, deep spiritual thing going on.
Elitist?
That you can't,
really?
That you can't enjoy anything just basically surface level and fun. You know, I'm in the way so much. Barrier to you expressing yourself. Maybe I should just go because it's just.
Oh my goodness! You know, I seriously tried not to piss him off this week. I don't know what. It seems like I can't win, you guys. I'm not really sure what I should do. Seems like no matter what I do, Clinton's mad. Okay. Well, I hope you guys had a great show. We enjoyed our guests, Leah Calvani and Greg Jennings. Don't miss Winter Songs at Monticello High School, a fundraiser for the Shelter for Help and Emergency. And thank you so much to Jason Burke. You guys need to go see the Six Pack Songwriter Series, an evening of Central Virginia songwriting. That sounds like a blast. Pick up some local music. All right. Well, it's been fun. It's been wonderful. And, you know, Clinton's mad at me again, but that happens every week. And we will see you guys next week. All right.
I'm in the celebration mode. Break the mold. Double the take is told, but I never let it fully take control.